News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. 8:07, heading straight toward August 11th. That's going to be special election day. We don't know what the turnout's going to be like, but a lot of our audience will turn out for sure.
No doubt about that. Less than 2 weeks away, that special primary election. And as Dan was saying, with the turnout that is expected, every vote is going to matter a whole lot more than in a high turnout election. And no man knows that more than Austin Sidwell, who's a candidate for AL1. It's a four-man field now after all the redistricting and people deciding which district they're going to run in. And Sidwell running in AL1. Good morning, Austin. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So, we've been talking about this election for a long time through all the twists and turns. Yeah. I have to tell you, our listening audience, I think a lot of them have come out and seen you speak or they've heard your interviews on this station and elsewhere and have gotten to know you during this campaign. But give us the short version. Who is Austin Sidwell and why did you decide this was the time to run for Congress?
Yeah, the short version is I grew up here in Baldwin County. I went to the Air Force Academy, flew helicopters, both combat search and rescue, and as an instructor at Fort Rucker for a total of about 12 years. And then left the Air Force to come back to Baldwin County to raise my family and to take over my family's security business. Along the way, I got an MBA from Liberty University, and I just graduated from Jones School of Law up in Montgomery with my law degree. But I'm running because I look at my kids and I don't know where their future is going, what's going to be there, and whether or not they're going to have an opportunity at the same American dream that I had an opportunity at. You know, rising costs, rising, you know, things that are going on in the world, and I don't think we have representatives that are really connected to the people's interest anymore.
You know, your faith has always been something you've been very upfront with. And I think the way that you have communicated that seems to be very authentic. Talk about the importance that faith has played in your life and has for since, I guess, high school or even earlier.
No, and I really appreciate you saying that because that's one thing, you know, I was hesitant at the beginning of this to really talk openly about my faith because I didn't ever want to be that guy who just, you know, we see politicians come out and during campaign season, you know, all of a sudden they're the biggest Christians in the world, and that's just not how I operate. But no, I wouldn't be here without the Lord. I tell people all the time that I know this is where God wants me to be. Don't know how the result's going to turn out, but I wake up every morning and say a prayer and make sure that this is where He's leading me. And at every point in my life, you know, it's whether it's been a struggle, whether it's been a good part of my life, he's always been there for me. And that's my rock. That's my number one. And, you know, it's Jesus first and my wife and then my kids. And that's just how I operate.
Yeah. And Austin, I want to note this too. Last night while I was prepping to talk with you this morning, of course, I did the Google search, right? Threw your name in there and saw what popped up. And I saw this story from thealabamabaptist.org. And this was written way back. Nowadays, this is way back, I guess 2 decades ago almost. January 31st of 08, a headline was Foley High School standout student shines for Christ and shares his story. And you played football at Foley, which is awesome. And then to go on to the Air Force Academy, I guess there's some similar parallels in your life and in the life of my family. My brother went to the Air Force Academy. But you talked in that article about your love of the Lord and love of Christ back then. So you come by it honestly. I know we hear a lot of politicians just say that when they're campaigning. But to see that article, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, that's funny. I hadn't seen that in a long time. That was the Challenger Award my senior year, voted on by the teammates of my football team there. And, honored to get that. It was actually a really cool experience. If I remember correctly, one of the guys that played on the Remember the Titans squad, so not the main team, but the team that they played in the championship in the movie.
Yeah.
He was the speaker that night, and it was funny because I remember very much so that he was like, yeah, it wasn't a close game. They beat the crap out of it.
Hey, by the way, speaking of football, UTV 44, we did a game with you on the field that back in the day. Julio had a wide receiver. Sidwell right there, I guess, played tackle. And
I played it depends on the year, but I played center the last 2 years.
Okay, well, without your crushing blocks, nobody knows who Julio Jones is. that's my revisionist history.
Mine is that I actually, I touched the ball every single snap. Julio, when he got thrown to. So.
Yeah, way overrated. But anyway, he was... what a player he was! To have the opportunity to play with somebody that exceptional. I know that was a treat for all you guys, right?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, that year was like a dream. I mean, from think about a 17-year-old high school kid, and you've got Urban Meyer out there, Nick Saban, Les Miles. I mean, every coach you can imagine. I remember getting called into the office, and there's Ed Ogeron when he was at Ole Miss. Standing in there in his Louisiana accent that I'm not going to try and mimic. giving me a hard time about the fact that I think on paper I was listed at 6'1", and I'm barely 5'11". but it was awesome. It was probably what led to the opportunity I had getting recruited by the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, so let's dive into that portion of your life now, because service academies are no joke, especially for a high schooler venturing into the real world for the first time, and it's really kind of not the real world. It's lockdown, and they've got you doing what you have to do to become a honorable member of the U.S. military, and you did that. You went to the Air Force Academy, but then to go on and fly HH-60G combat rescue missions as a helicopter pilot, and then to go on and train at Fort Rucker for 12 years. Just kind of talk about that overall experience and what that taught you that would actually translate into being an effective congressman.
That's funny, because I actually got that question the other day and then talked about it yesterday at a group we were speaking at. And, the first time I got asked that question, it was all about, okay, the typical leadership answers, the missions that we flew, the things that we did. And I kind of revised my answer when I talked about it yesterday, because I had time to reflect. And it was the times that broke you. It was the worst times that really built me, and prepared me for leadership roles. Talk about when I went to the United States Air Force Academy, I didn't know that when I showed up, I had walking pneumonia. I was an offensive lineman getting recruited there. You show up in June for basic training before the school semester starts. And 3 days in, they rushed me to the hospital because I was running over 103-degree fever.
Wow.
And that's when they discovered that I had pneumonia. So I spent my first part of basic in the hospital, came out, couldn't eat, and lost. I think I was 215 when I showed up in my first football practice.
Wow.
And then tried to battle back that freshman year. Ended up getting cut in January when I got back from Christmas break. But, what I learned in that time, I wanted to quit. I mean, at every stage of that, while I was lying in the hospital bed, not looking forward to going back into basic training. When you get in a football, on the football team, and you're sitting there half the human being that you were when you started this, with little strength and just getting beat up every day at practice.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to quit. And I remember my dad grabbed me in a Chili's parking lot around November and kind of just said, look, like, you committed to this. You stick it out. If there's any part of you that's able to stay here, you're staying. And I just, at every moment throughout my career, when things got hard, when, you talk about getting ready to deploy when my wife was 4 months pregnant and just been put on bed rest with my middle child. It's her birthday today, so Juliet's turning 9. But when she's pregnant and you're leaving, at all those moments, you kind of revert back to, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for whatever challenges come ahead, because I know what I'm going to do when my back's against the wall.
Hmm. Some would say,
I believe that those are the things in the military that have really prepared me.
Yeah, and some would say that's kind of the situation you're in now. Jerry Carl, former congressman, strong name recognition. He's got all the resources, President Trump's endorsement as well. What do you see and hear on the ground that tells you this race is winnable for you? It would seem to be going against the odds, but it looks like that's been something you've always done.
Look, I'm obviously I don't have all the campaign resources that he's got, and that's been difficult throughout the way. But what it's done is it has allowed me to go and be face to face with the voters. And when I walk into a room, you know, no one bats a thousand. But man, I am really getting a positive result in every single room that I've been in, and we've been blessed to have this extension to the race. Yes, it's been chaotic. Yes, it's been a strain on resources. But I mean, to have the opportunity to run a race, get our feet underneath us, have the May primary, and really know where we needed to focus. The last 3 months, we have been busting our butt. I couldn't have asked for a better team around me. I mean, these are people that have volunteered their time and been with me 24/7, just helping me grind out and do the groundwork. And that's where it's going to be. I mean, every single day we are gaining support left and right. I've already been on the phone 3 times this morning, and two of those were new people that got my card yesterday. And it's just that's kind of how we built it. And we were just going to go after voters and be where voters were at and talk to them and be honest and be real and just ask them sincerely, are they ready for a different face, a different perspective, and kind of a change to the type of leadership we have in D.C.?
Yeah, Austin Sidwell, that's who we're talking with right now, candidate for AL1. Remember, that special primary election is right around the corner. August 11th is when we're going to be headed back to the polls, and no runoff for this special primary. Winner advances. And we talked about your military career, and so often, you know, when we see people running for office, they've had a full career in one domain, and sometimes that domain is just politics, just a career politician. Sometimes you get these career military men who run and get into office, but you've already, at your relatively young age, kind of had your you've lived in a number of pools here. You've done the military thing, a lot of law schooling I see here, Faulkner's Thomas Good Jones School of Law, an MBA from Liberty, but also you have an important role in your family's security business, Sidwell Protection Services. And so often voters say, hey, they don't know anything about business, why would I vote for them? Well, you seem to have some history in that, knowing how a small business is run and what it takes.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I got out of the military, technically I got out in 24, but I did an internship that the military offers, so I was able to come and start working with my parents in September of 2023. And since that time, you know, the first year is kind of your hair's on fire trying to figure out everything. I grew up in the business, mm-hmm. right? Grew up helping out Dad a lot, so I knew the basics, but you know, had never actually put pen to paper and actually run the business. So the first year you're kind of figuring that out. And then the great thing about being thrown into a small family business is I've literally handled every single aspect of it, from payroll to schedules to working guard shifts to management of people to the last 8 months before last summer, before I started, or before last fall when I decided to run. I had gotten into marketing, and we had actually grown the business quite a bit and gotten some new contracts. So the opportunity to not only get in a small business, but to literally wear every single hat mm-hmm. as I moved into my role to take over the company completely, it was, again, I just look at the Lord has blessed me along the way with all these opportunities to prepare me for where I'm at today.
Let's take a break here. When we get back, there's a number of issues. We'll get your take on where you are on those also.
Certainly, yeah. Some big-time issues and a lot of debates going on right now about things that Congress is getting ready to pass or getting ready to not pass. We'll ask Austin Sidwell where he stands on some of those on the way as this episode of Mobile Morning continues right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
825 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Austin Sidwell, running for Congressional District AL1, is our guest this morning.
Yeah, and let's talk some issues here now that we've gotten to know Austin. You've raised some concerns about solar farms and large data centers, and federal subsidies seems to be a big part of this discussion and how they can really kind of end up hurting a place more than they help in some instances. Just kind of talk about your overall stance. I know it can be a really divisive topic already, but any policies you would change or want to enact as a member of Congress regarding data centers and solar farms and the like?
So overall stance, we'll start there. So, and we'll split them up just a little bit. Solar farms, I do not think that we should be subsidizing, you know, inefficiencies or inefficient new energy. I see large scale solar farms as just that, inefficient. If you go and look at the grid, which have been up to Andalusia, to the co-op and to the energy producers up there, and watched how every time that one of these fields gets a cloud overhead, or anytime that's nighttime, they have to backfill that energy on the grid, and they're paying a higher price for it whenever they do. So the only reason why it was cheap and the purpose for them to go out, or the reason why they went out and got it, is because the federal government subsidized those energy programs. And a lot of that was started through Biden and then really hasn't gotten fully taken away through the Trump administration. So I just see solar farms as we're using them the wrong way. If you want to put smaller scales, I think on top of roofs would be great to help backfill the grid personally. I know I've got a friend of mine that's stationed out in Nellis in Vegas, and they're huge about that. He's got solar panels on top of his roof. He actually gets paid like $50 a month or something like that from the power companies there, and he doesn't pay an electric bill because he's helping add things to the grid. So I think that works rather than using 4,500 acres of our wetland up in Stockton for a solar farm that's extremely inefficient. When it comes to the data centers, like it's a new technology. I say I'm not against data centers, you know, broadly speaking, but it should be up to the individual communities, and we shouldn't be popping these projects up when they're already a done deal without anyone having a chance to do anything about it. I was in Mount Vernon the other day up in Calvert. They're fighting, I think it's a 600 and something acre data center project up there. And it's not that it's inherently bad. There are some questions about the water resources they use, where our power bill is going to go once they come in there and start drawing on the grid. But it's about our communities having a voice. And I'm not one for the federal government or the state government to come in there and force these projects down our throats when we don't know what all the negative consequences are going to be down the line.
You know, we spent so much time talking about your time in Baldwin County and then the Air Force Academy and military. Not as much time on the issues. We'll have to get you back on here. But why should someone who's gotten to know you listen to your story? Why should they come out and vote for you on August 11th, Austin?
Because I believe it's time that we have a different perspective in Congress. As a conservative, you know, grown up that my entire life hearing the same talking points from Republicans and conservatives, and we have not seen the federal government shrink at all. We have not seen the spending under control. We have not actually seen the government move towards any conservative values. And in one of the most conservative districts in the country, we deserve to have a voice that's going to stand on principle and fight for that.
Austin, great pleasure speaking with you today. And I know that our listeners enjoyed the opportunity to learn more about you. Tell everybody where to go, maybe online, to find out more about your campaign here. We've got about 20 seconds left.
Absolutely. You can go to SidwellForCongress.com. That's our website. We are funded wholly by people here in the district. Small dollar donations is what keeps us running. So here in the last 2 weeks, if you like what you hear, then go to our website and consider donating.
There you go. There you have it. Austin Sidwell.
Yeah, appreciate your time this morning. I'm going to have to come see you and talk about your time at the Air Force Academy, maybe get you and my brother linked up so you guys could talk about it together. But appreciate your time.
That would be awesome.
And keep that hustle going. I know you've been grinding for months now, but just a few days left. And looking forward to hearing from you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. And more news and conversation and your text, 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5 coming to the texts and phones here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. But right now, it's time to talk with Louie Arata, who is at McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we are having a great time here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios and out at McConnell Automotive. Fantastic inventory and a really great deal on half-ton trucks right now.
That's right, employee price, man. You can't beat that. I mean, that is just, they don't usually don't do that, but they've done it, and they're dwindling out of here because we're selling them, and it is a great deal. I mean, shoot, employee, what it would, you know, they can buy whatever we can buy it for. So it's usually about anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 off, depending on what the MSRP is. So it's a great deal.
Yeah, it really is, but you have such great inventory beyond just the half-ton trucks. You can pretty much get anything in stock that anyone's looking for, but you also have a lot of the favorites that people are coming by and buying all the time from you.
That's right. The AT4s, I think that's the favorite. We've got them in Yukon models, and we've got them in Sierra models. So you can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com, and come on by and see us. Like I said, employee price, and I don't want to stress too much about it, but it's employee pricing on half-ton trucks, and they're flying out of here. So just come on by and see us.
Yep, and they're great at McConnell, and they treat their customers like they are family, that's for sure, and you'll know once you get by there. Hey, we appreciate your time this morning, Louie, and hope you have a great rest of the week.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louie Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, 251-343-0106. Good morning, Dan and Dalton. This is from our friend Sheila. She said, such a great segment with Austin today. We went to church together, and I was a volunteer in our youth ministry. Austin was even a leader back then in our youth group. I'm so very proud of the young man he is. And he has my vote. Have a blessed day. Yeah, the thing about Austin is when you look at some of his, it's like you found that article from he was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
He chuckled about it a little bit, said, wow, I haven't even thought about that in so many years. But that was an award that he won, voted by his teammates. And he seems to be kind of the real deal. He is who he is. So, you know, like him or not, agree with him on his on policies or not. I think it's pretty much a straight shooter, so you know what you're voting for.
That finding that article last night was remarkable to me, seeing an article from nearly 20 years ago when he was wrapping up high school at Foley and talking about his Christian faith. And I say it's remarkable because we hear, not every politician, I mean, there's certainly some races around the country where saying you're Christian is probably a mark against you with the with different constituencies out there.
Sure.
But down here, and especially in a lot of ruby red districts, you know, that is a non-qualifier if you don't come out and say that you're a Christian or that you love God or love Jesus. So what we end up seeing are a bunch of people who don't mean it, saying it,
yep,
so that they can get elected. And not that that's the case with everyone or even most of the people that are running for office, but to see an article from when he was in high school, and I would guess not thinking about running for Congress at that time, but who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah.
He was probably more focused on an immediate upcoming career in the Air Force and going mm-hmm. to the Air Force Academy. But, yeah, if you get the chance, search Austin Sidwell and thealabamabaptist.org. A fantastic story from when he was getting ready to graduate Foley. Back then in 08, said he received the 2007 U.S. Marine Corps Honor, Courage, and Commitment Award. So, I don't know, I thought that was really cool to pull that up and see it.
Yeah.
And also, as some have noted, and let me see if I can find that exact text. This texter says, Austin has my vote. I've gotten to know him in recent months, and people I trust have great confidence. And said, well, I'm close to Dan's age, and I'm ready for fresh perspectives and new blood in leadership. And, I like Jerry Carl a lot, too. He is someone who, ever since I've met him or began seeing him, when he'd come by here or out at events, and he makes himself known, wide known. He goes to a lot of places that I would bet a lot of congressmen or former congressmen with name recognition don't feel that they need to go to earn the vote. And Jared Carl still goes and shows up at those places. So I like him a lot, but I love that there is at least a younger generation that are conservative and want to keep that rolling. And more so than keep it rolling, I think the conservative movement has been hijacked in a lot of ways by big dollars and defense companies. And, I mean, you can just look at Congress and pick the thing you don't like about the current crop of conservatives who probably are of an average age of 70 at this point.
Yeah.
And to see some young conservatives who are kind of fed up with it, I totally endorse that and get back to the basics here of what it means to be a conservative Republican. And it seems like Austin is headed in that right direction. And I just hope there's a lot more that are like him out there. And I hope that if things don't go well for him on August 11th or don't go well enough to win the office, that he's considering a future in politics and keeps giving it a run for other offices. If that's the case. But I know he's more concerned about winning the immediate race in front of him.
Plus, you know, he's involved with his family's business in Foley, so it looks like he's not going anywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. Jeremy Clark with Vets to Cowboys, the event he had on Saturday, very well attended by people who are interested in what he... It's funny, what Jeremy's doing, it's not anything to promote himself or anything for his own benefit. That guy's something else.
Yeah.
But Jerry happened to be there. Jerry Carl was at that event down on Jeremy's farm in Grand Bay as he was introducing the ag world to... many former vets.
Yeah, and it was cool the coverage that event earned as well with Jeremy. And I saw he was on a couple of the local TV stations, and they were out there filming that event. And our friend Patrick Jump, also with Warrior Legacy Ranch, was able to attend. And just the relationship that this station, and I'll say it starts at the top with Sean Sullivan. He probably doesn't want me to talk about these kinds of things, but he has been so invested and involved in, a number of different, you know, charitable efforts in our area, but it's the military ones that seem to be most drawn to us, or us most drawn to them. And all the way down the line from Bryant Knight and his crew with Fight or Die, or Patrick, or Jeremy. I mean, the list goes on and on, and it's incredible what knowing so many of those men and women, what it can give to your life too. And they've been through, and it ranges widely what these military men have been through, but the things that they have gone through, you can learn so much from through them, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm just talking in circles or not, but them being able to kind of pass that life experience along and what they've been through, to me, a weakling, lazy loser like me who didn't serve in the military and has to find the effort to actually get the things done that need to get done in my life, to see what they've been through and how they come back and keep kicking ass, it's a real 5-hour energy shot.
Yeah, Brian's still in the business. You know, he's still kind of in the mix a little bit with his business. He's overseas a lot. Last time I saw him at Folly, the new restaurant down there off near Canal, the love and enthusiasm he brings to a room too. He almost wrung my neck. I mean, he was happy to see me. And give me a big hug and, you know, a big, strong dude. Like, okay, easy. Text line 251-343-0106. A lot of texts this morning on a lot of issues.
And Keith says, y'all may have mentioned it already, but Rand Paul just had Dr. Fauci's attorney removed from the hearing.
Wow.
Fauci is pleading the fifth. And Michael texting in as well on this. He says, Fauci has already pled the fifth 17 times so far, and the hearing has only been going on for about 30 minutes. Yeah, I guess we shouldn't have expected anything else. I know James Comer, who's been getting after him for a long time, I guess they said it was a threat. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but he said, you know, that pardon that you earned, quote unquote, earned from the previous president, Biden, it doesn't cover you for perjury now that you don't hold that same office that you did hold. So maybe trying to poke him into giving us a little more information, like what's being unveiled in his diary these last few days.
It looks like my hope that he would, you were saying, well, maybe today he comes clean, Dan. It's like, that'd be great. That'd be cool. Well, you know, doesn't look like that's the theme of the day.
No. And I mean, what do you do with that pardon And you look at these diary entries, which, I mean, if I were Fauci and I had everyone calling it a diary, I'd be like, it's a journal. It's a journal. I'm a dude. Quit calling it a diary. I was journaling. But like I said, you know, reading through those, it appeared that he was writing in his diary what would eventually be what I'm sure he thought would be like the best-selling book of all time. Mm. This one man saves us from coronavirus. And then you go back and look, and every single little piece of that we've been questioning since people started questioning the way that public officials went about handling COVID, he lied to us the entire way through. And we knew he was lying at the time, but we didn't have it in writing. To say that, you know, he wasn't encouraging lockdowns, and then now you're reading, and he's like taking credit for getting Bill de Blasio in New York and for getting L.A. to lock everything down, and even Trump. And like Sean mentioned again yesterday in Midday Mobile, Trump isn't spotless. He's not blameless in that entire COVID situation because, you know, whether he was led astray by the doctors that be and Fauci and Deborah Birx and those, he went along with it. He allowed a lot of the country to shut down before he started pushing for it to reopen. And that massive that massive spending bill to break us out of that lull because everyone was at home, it's still sickening to me. We were doing that story this morning in our three big things about how the Alabama prisons are again behind schedule, even more behind schedule. They'd already pushed the first prison deadline back 5 months to October. Now they're saying they don't think it'll get done then. Haven't even really gotten started on the Escambia County prison. Both of them were projected to cost somewhere around $1 billion or just a little bit more. That's how much the Elmore County prison is going to cost. But the federal money that we're receiving from that COVID spending bill, $400 million going towards that to just kind of show federal dysfunction wrapped with state dysfunction altogether. Oh. And it's sickening. But Trump went along with a lot of that. And so he's not blameless. But Fauci just absolutely lied to us all the entire way through. And whether it was when he decided that it probably didn't originate in the wet market, like by the end, everyone was saying, he was writing in his diary that, it appears that it didn't begin in the wet market, but it was a multiplier of sorts. Mm. I mean, I'm still of the opinion that this was, I think it was deliberate by China. And you look at everything that's happened in the last 5 or 6 years, it's hard not to think that. And then how about yesterday? You had Trump, of course, in D.C., and you had the Lindsey Graham funeral. But Trump and Netanyahu and Zelensky all together, and I know it wasn't billed as some sort of summit, and I don't know if they were all in the Oval Office together.
No,
but
they weren't.
I can't help but think back to like World War II and when all the Allied leaders were together. And now that you have Ukraine actually hitting Iran like they did, hitting some Iranian ships that may have been bringing weapons to Russia or from Russia or energy or something like that. Ukraine now striking Iran. So you could see how this could turn into the world war very quickly.
I mean, really, this plot twist is amazing. And to have
250 years ago, a bold idea changed the world. A nation built on freedom. FM Talk 106.5 celebrates America's 250th anniversary. A proud history. A bold future.
Good morning from the Chuck Stevens Automotive Traffic Center. Accident-free conditions continue that ride from Fairhope to Daphne, along 98. Watch your speed. You've got plenty of radar heading back towards I-10. Across the Bayway towards the George Wallace Tunnel, heavier traffic into westbound lanes. Tillman's Corner, Theodore, clear. In Baymanet, it's Chuck Stevens Automotive, home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. And now purchase any vehicle and receive a 6-day, 5-night cruise from New Orleans to Mexico or the Bahamas. See them at ChuckStevensAuto.com. And I'm Kane with the FM Park 106.5. Traffic.
Turn up your voice on the text line 251-343-0106. Now back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:54. Made my way out to University and Airport yesterday, where everybody's digging the pig. Out of Piggly Wiggly, and I talked to this young lady who's on the staff out there.
I dig the pig. I love the pig. They're awesome. They have so many great deals here. Oh, we have such wonderful people that come through the store. It's a beautiful, large store. Everybody loves the layout, and everything is so fresh. and it's well stocked, and all of the customer service people are so nice to everybody here.
It is a friendly place out there at Piggly Wiggly. They've got some specials now, including Sanderson Farms fryer drumsticks, or put them in the dryer if you want, or thighs, $1.59 a pound, and the family pack of fresh sirloin and pork chops. Saw those too, just $1.69 a pound. And while you're at any Piggly Wiggly, make sure you register to win our America 250 Showcase grand prize worth over $4,600. Dig the pig and dig that. Piggly Wiggly. You can save at your neighborhood Piggly Wiggly. You can win as well.
Yeah, I love the pig, especially that one. And they have some fantastic food. And whether it's hot, you're taking it home to cook.
Hot bar, right.
If you go there, odds are you will either see Alec Naiman, Dalton Norwig, and Dan Brennan at some point because we're out there all the time. Hey, let's check in with April Marie Fogle before she subs in once again for Jeff. And she has been doing an absolutely amazing job, as always. Good morning, April Marie.
Well, good morning, and thank you for that.
Yeah, what's going on today? Are you going to have kids yelling at you, or a dog barking, or somebody coming to the door? What's up?
All of the above, likely. I will say I was waiting for someone to come spray a wasp nest yesterday.
Yeah, I remember that.
He barely missed me after I was on air. But now the wasps are just, like, hanging on the front porch. Like, what did you do with our house?
Hmm.
And so now we're all using the side door, which is where I am sitting. So the likelihood of children has now increased.
Wait, it was a failed attempt to take out the wasps?
So the nest is gone, but they're kind of just hanging out there.
Hmm. Do you have something against spraying wasp spray yourself? Are you able to get out there and knock it down?
Yeah, there are no circumstances in which I'm doing any. Bees and wasps, people are scared of spiders. Meh, I'm okay with spiders are where they are. But for whatever reason, bees and wasps freak me out. So I watched, actually my front door camera caught the spraying of the wasp. There's the tiniest little piece still hanging on, and on that tiny little piece is like six wasps.
Yeah, they're all on. It's kind of like when the Titanic went down. They're all on that one door.
Yeah, clinging,
trying to survive. So, you know, down here we're talking so much about this special primary with AL1, and then not as big of a deal for us as it was, but AL2 over in the Wiregrass. But 6 and 7, they've also got races. I mean, what's the big political story where you are right now? Are people even thinking about elections yet, or what are you seeing?
Honestly, it's darn near quiet.
Yeah.
There is a Republican challenger for Terry Sewell, and she's out there working. Amy Akins, and she's out there working. She's a 25-year educator. Just started really tracking her, but no one knows who she is. I mean, heck, I cover it and I live here, and she wasn't really on my radar until this past week. Luckily, Palmer doesn't have any real issues, and I'm really not convinced that in any way, shape, or form this other seat is in play, which is a shame because Terry Sewell is my member of Congress, and she's just absolutely terrible.
All right. You've got to get ready for your show, so we'll allow you to do that, and thanks for dropping in and spending a little time with Dan and Dalton.
Yeah, you two are welcome anytime you want to spill over into Jeff's show, too.
Sounds good. There you go.
There you go. April Marie Fogle, who has been doing a great job. Let's continue to fill that text line up for her. That number is 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Did you hear Sean yesterday teasing his two-pack of interviews he has coming up? Now, he might have some great interviews today, and he may have said so, but I forgot who. Tomorrow, though, on Midday Mobile, Sean will have the current mayor of Mobile, Spiro Chiragatis, on.
Okay.
Friday, he's getting ready to talk with the former mayor of Mobile, Sandy Stimson. So plenty of reasons to listen to FM Talk 106.5 all day long. He's got some great stuff. 8:58 right now. That does it for Mobile Mornings. April Marie Fogle on the way next.
Dan Brennan here, inviting you to join the community at Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill. You'll find everything you need to live the convenient and carefree lifestyle you deserve. If you're looking for your next home in Mobile, hey, I found it at Legacy Oaks. It's a charming community of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments located in the heart of the city just off Dauphin and I-65. Inside the spacious floor plans, you'll discover cozy interiors complete with gas range, a gas fireplace, and each unit comes with an attached garage. Outside your apartment, you'll love the amenities like pool and a clubhouse that includes a conference room and workout center. Bees provide the perfect opportunity to relax and enjoy the company of neighbors. As a resident of Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill, you'll also enjoy easy access to the area's most popular shopping, dining, and entertainment destinations, and still minutes from downtown. Reach out today for more information. Call 251-344-8099 and find out more at LegacyOaksAtSpringHill.com.